top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens. Local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station. Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
This is the Midday News for Tuesday, March 30th. I'm Kimberly Benjamin in the headlines. UWP President Isaac Baptist describes DLP Attorney Lennox Lawrence's 24th March request for the DPP's intervention in the CCJ ruling on the election treating case against Skerrit and others as illegal. Government of Canada announced it would contribute Canadian $1,200,000 to support the efforts of PAHO in fighting against COVID-19 in six Caribbean countries. And the CBS announced Sharon Osbourne has decided to leave The Talk in the wake of a heated on-air exchange with her co-hosts amidst allegations of racism after defending Piers Morgan's criticism of Meghan Markle. The details coming up. President of the United Workers' Party, Isaac Baptist, explains his disgust about the requests made by attorneys Lennox Lawrence and Anthony Astafan to the acting DPP, Sherma Dalrymple. In a letter to the DPP dated March 24, 2021, attorney Lennox Lawrence wrote on behalf of Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerrit and the other DLP candidates wrapped up in this major election treating case to intervene and immediately discontinue the treating case filed against Mr. Roosevelt Skerrit and others. On March 9, 2021, the Caribbean Court of Justice dismissed attorney Anthony Astafan's strikeout appeal in the matter of Roosevelt Skerrit and others versus Marvin John Baptist and others and affirmed the order to reinstate the magistrate's summonses for the appellants Roosevelt Skerrit and others to appear before the magistrate to answer to charges of bribery and treating during the 2014 election campaign.
The Labour Party believes and like the laws of this country were put there for them to do what then when it is not in their favor, they'll do anything to get their way. And the sad thing about it is that in the process of so doing, they are corrupting every institution of state. The constitution is quite clear as to the appointment of the director of public prosecution and the role of the director of public prosecution. So here it is that you have a matter that the Constitution is basically saying that, listen, you are Prime Minister, but you are subjected to the law.
Baptist reminds Prime Minister Skerrit that he is subject to the law despite efforts of DLP loyalists who have sold their conscience to pervert laws and codes of conduct to aid the Prime Minister and other DLP ministers in manipulating laws to suit their desires.
The High Court, the highest court of the land has endorsed that. So not because you have your holding office of Prime Minister that you believe that you are not subjected to the law. And now that you find yourself having to face the law for alleged criminal activity again in terms of treating in elections, you are now trying to use your position to get this matter discontinued. Whereas you are the same person who holds the office that have to advise the president on the appointment of that person that you're asking to discontinue the matter. I mean, where is the morality of this thing? And how can an attorney at law, supposed to be close to a senior attorney, or write a letter like this to a director of public prosecution saying that he's representing the Prime Minister of the country?
UWP President Isaac Baptist. Ophelia Thomas, psychologist, counselor in the Ministry of Health, Wellness and Environment in St. Vincent and the Grenadines, and Endo Warrior speaks on the things that can affect the mental health of someone with endometriosis, which happens when the endometrium, the tissue that usually lines the inside of a woman's uterus, grows outside of it. This tissue acts like regular uterine tissue does during your period. It will break apart and bleed at the end of a cycle, but this blood has nowhere to go. Surrounding areas may become inflamed or swollen. She was a guest speaker at the Focus on Endometriosis discussion at the UWE Open Campus on the weekend.
So some of the things in endometriosis that can affect your mental health is having an unsupported partner, unsupported friends, and unsupported family members. If the people in your life don't understand what you're going through or take you seriously, then it's going to affect your own mental health. Because we're social beings, whether we're introverts or extroverts or ambiverts, we are social beings. means, and we need that social connection. So if the people in our lives are not taking us seriously, it's going to affect our mental health. If they're not supporting us, it's going to affect our mental health. Second, living with chronic pain, day in and day out, affects your mental health. It's not easy when you're in so much pain that all you could do is lie down on a cold, hard floor, trying to get some relief, or having to put hot water bags so hot that you actually burn yourself just to get some relief from the pain. So living with chronic pain can affect your mental health. Having a workplace or a school environment that is not understanding.
Thomas, founder of the advocacy group She Is Lotus, asserts you are the CEO of your body.
In that, if you have a doctor who is not taking you seriously and you are having symptoms that you need help with, fire them and hire a doctor who takes you seriously. Because you are paying for this doctor's service. And if you are the CEO of your body and CEO, you are in control of what you allow and don't allow. So if you have a doctor that's not taking you seriously, fire him and try to find a doctor who's going to take you seriously. Because if you keep going to this doctor, you are just going to get nowhere and it's going to further impact you.
She encourages women with endometriosis to join support groups and reach out to other women. She also urges these women to continue to eat healthy and remain active.
So if you need help, do not be afraid to reach out for it. If there's a support group in the community, join it. There's truly, speak to her. There are other women with endo who are willing to share their stories with you and their journeys and what has helped them. Reach out to them. Because sharing your story is empowering and it can help another woman in their journey. And some of the other things that has helped me is taking care of my physical body and hormone. So I've had to adjust my diet, and in adjusting my diet, I've realized it has had a really positive impact on my mental health. So I don't eat red meat, I try to not eat a lot of dairy, but I do have a passion for ice cream. So every now and then, I really indulge in some ice cream. Caffeine, alcohol, I don't do any of that. Coke, none of that. Because they can help to make your symptoms worse. So I try to eat a lot of green, a lot of vegetables, cruciferous vegetables, the broccoli and the cabbage. You know, eat your greens, ladies, eat your fruits, eat your vegetables. Try to eat local as much as possible.
St. Vincent psychologist and counselor Ophelia Thomas. DPSU President Steve Joseph touts the union successes in the passing of amendments and legislation to benefit public workers. Speaking on Q95 recently, Joseph highlighted legislation to address non-established workers and enactment of the Public Service Act.
Legislation, although we still haven't come out of the era of the colonial old document called General Orders, but we have had the Public Service Act enacted, and presently it's under review. We'll see that going back to Parliament soon, I trust, and also legislation to address non-established workers, what they now call non-scheduled workers.
DPSU President Steve Joseph. Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerrett says government has started a process of reviewing the island's tax system. He states it is his wish to see one flat rate across the board, and the International Monetary Fund, IMF, is helping Dominica in this regard.
And I'm hoping that we can get a report. We've been held back because of COVID and all of the other challenges. But I'm of the view that, you know, we should maybe look at a simplified system and one flat rate and so forth.
Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerrett, Dominican-born U.S.-based director, group leader, and therapeutic area leader of worldwide products laboring at Merck & Company, based in Kenilworth, New Jersey, Marver Shurdal encourages Dominicans to understand that the vaccines approved by the World Health Organization and the CDC are safe and tested. This as many Dominicans have exhibited fear in taking the COVID-19 vaccine.
They can always fill in the gaps where, you know, where they feel unsure or have concerns about vaccines as they come into our landscape. I know it's going to be a lot of information coming at people, and you're not necessarily going to know how to interpret the information that you're given. But just know that the vaccines are going to be safe, or else they would not be approved based on the rigor that the FDA and other regulatory authorities has required that we put them through. And you should have concerns, but I believe the concerns really should be not trying to avoid the disease at all means possible, and really getting vaccinated once the vaccine is available to you. It's the only way that we can go back to some form of normalcy, or else we will continue to have deaths and severe disease.
Shordell elucidates that the COVID-19 virus has long-term implications for a person's health, and stresses that it is the vaccines which will prevent COVID-19 complications, which in many cases can be fatal.
With COVID, when you get infected, one of the things that they call it in the publications, they call them the long haulers, right? So some of the people that get COVID, they have other issues later on. And if you're going to be on a ventilator and you come back and you're still alive, being on a ventilator is not so great. If you've ever been on a ventilator, but you can read up on it, you're pretty bad if you've been put on a ventilator. Yeah. So obviously you're going to have some issues. But because of the tissue destruction that COVID causes, you really want to avoid. It's a serious disease. And don't think that you can compare it to the flu and other diseases. If you look at the rates of the seasonal flu, it's not the same. So don't let anybody try to convince you otherwise, because it is not the same. When it had just started, people talking.
Still on the local scene, the staff of the Royal Bank of Dominica has garnered over $13,000, which it presented to the Dominica Cancer Society at its annual general meeting on the weekend. RBC employee Cleopatra Cuffey says it is the hope of staff members that this can be used to help the society in its activities as it works to assist cancer patients in Dominica.
The amount of the check is $13,200.50. This amount was raised by the staff for different activities that we used to do, and we had an account for cancer. However, as you're aware, Royal Bank is no longer, so we decided to just wrap up the account and give all of the proceeds to the Dominica Cancer Society.
RBC employee Cleopatra Cuffey. Meantime, clinical psychologist Leslie Ann Waldron Martin, speaking on managing cancer during the pandemic at the society's AGM, says the psychosocial impact of COVID-19 extends beyond the actual patients, but also on their loved ones and caregivers.
Being a caregiver of someone with cancer has its own challenges, and these challenges are significantly magnified during a pandemic. While concerned with a loved one's physical and psychological health, caregivers are likely juggling their responsibility with their own obligations, their own fears, and their own psychological challenges. Coupled with other strenuous tasks of caring for their loved ones, one with cancer, currently caregivers need to take additional steps to minimize the risk of contracting COVID-19. So this we're seeing couples with everything else, making it more difficult for the primary caregivers.
Meanwhile, Waldron Martin says 1 year from Hurricane Maria, she sees adaptation and adjustment.
I am seeing us nurturing hope. I am seeing us being able to adjust, to be able to adapt to our situation. Although we are still fearful, we have even with vaccinations, there are more questions, we have all type of conspiracy theories and all of these things out there. But I believe that we have come a long way from where we were last year, March, in terms of adjusting, in terms of adapting, and in terms of having hope. I also believe that time does not necessarily heal all situations, but it generally gives us the opportunity to learn how to cope.
clinical psychologist Leslie Ann Waldron Martin. The International Organization for Migration, IOM, has completed a series of national consultations in six participating OESIS countries, wrapping up the first phase of its original project. Head of IOM Dominica, Natasha Greaves, says one of the major gaps identified in the project was data collection and management. The participating countries were Antigua and Barbuda, Grenada, St. Kitts and Nevis, St. Vincent and the Grenadines, St. Lucia, and Dominica.
So the capacity building sessions really would be focused on data collection, data management. How can we strengthen the capacities at the national levels to collect, record, and store that type of data? And of course, we know with collecting the data, and as everyone mentioned, it's going to lead to evidence-based policies. So the team right now is working on really customizing the capacity building sessions to benefit the individuals.
Grief says now that phase one is over, the IOM is working full steam ahead to complete the assessments of the national data systems in each of the six independent countries.
What is next? This is a regional dialogue and it must continue. It doesn't end with just assessments. There are two major outputs that we are going to be working on to complete the project. One would be training and capacity building sessions in the individual member states. We are still battling with COVID, so we do anticipate that it's going to be a virtual session.
Head of IOM Dominica, Natasha Graves, meantime, Senior Technical Officer in the Regional Integration Unit of the OECS Commission, Dr. Clarence Henry, says there is also the need for data that allows for focus on putting in place gender-sensitive policy measures to provide the space for persons coming in.
So, in a sense, at the OECS Commission, we're very mindful of the fact that we need data in order to determine how do we support member states to expand their capacity to meet the needs of OECS citizens and their families moving under the context of environmental migration. And just to say, we have started working towards building the capacity among member states. So for instance, we're focusing on building capacity of border officials to receive persons moving in distress and particularly to equip them with the tools for effective management of large influx of OECS citizens and their family members following environmental disasters.
Senior Technical Officer in the Regional Integration Unit of the OECS Commission, Dr. Clarence Henry. And the Ministry of Health says that persons have begun receiving the second dose of the COVID-19 vaccine. The jabs are to be taken 8 weeks apart, and the vaccine rollout in Dominica commenced early February. And Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerritt says the opportunity still remains for those who have not taken the first dose, as the cutoff date has now moved from March 29 to March 31st. Just over 16,000 persons have received their first shot of the vaccine to date.
Let us therefore continue to avail ourselves to taking the vaccines. I know there are schisms about the vaccines, but it's important for us to do so. In Dominica, we're working towards a goal to get to 70% of our population vaccinated so that our lives can begin to return to normal. As I mentioned before, the cruise lines are inquiring about the percentage of our population who are vaccinated. This, I believe, will determine whether they visit our shores. But this, of course, is dependent on you and your willingness to get the shot to help position this country to return to economic activity.
Meantime, the Prime Minister says some of Dominica's sister islands, though receiving the vaccine later, have rushed ahead and taken the shots. According to him, this is because of the appreciation of the tourism dollar to their economies.
I do not want us to pass up on the opportunity here to do the same, to get our country ready for visitors. Yes, there are efforts being made in other sectors of development. Yes, we are giving support to small businesses and we are making new and lasting investments in agriculture, geothermal, and ICT. But this island remains a much sought-after tourist destination. And we must consider the hundreds of Dominicans whose livelihoods are dependent on tourism. So many of us are dependent on tourism, especially cruise tourism and stayover visitors, stayover arrivals. You know, when we have a cruise ship in port, you could see the activities. Tour guides, bus drivers, bus owners, vendors and the various sites across Dominica. These people rely on the tourist dollar to survive and to take care of families. So let us go out and get vaccinated, my dear brothers and sisters.
Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerritt. In other news, the government of Canada announced it would contribute Canadian $1,200,000 to support the efforts of the Pan American Health Organization against COVID-19 in six Caribbean countries. Several countries in the Caribbean are reporting a rise in COVID-related deaths, including a doubling of COVID-19 deaths in some islands. Many countries have begun or will soon begin rolling out vaccines to protect their populations. The donation by the Canadian government will be used to acquire essential personal protection equipment, lab and medical equipment, as well as supplies to be used by healthcare workers and hospitals in the Bahamas, Belize, Guyana, Jamaica, Suriname, and Trinidad and Tobago as part of PAHO's technical cooperation in the fight against the pandemic. It will also help strengthen communication efforts around public health risks, continued promotion of protective measures, and community engagement. And Sharon Osborne leaves the talk after controversial exchange racism allegations. CBS announced Sharon Osborne has decided to leave the talk. Her departure comes in the wake of a heated on-air exchange with her co-hosts after defending Piers Morgan's criticism of Meghan Markle. Vladimir Duthiers gives CBS This Morning details on her departure, racism allegations, and when the talk will return from hiatus.
The talk has been on hiatus for 2 weeks. Following a heated discussion on March 10th between co-host Sharon Osbourne and Cheryl Underwood. During the discussion about Meghan Markle and Prince Harry, Osbourne came to the defense of her friend and former host of Good Morning Britain, Piers Morgan. Morgan has been accused of making racist statements about Markle and said he didn't believe anything she said during the couple's sit-down interview with Oprah. Cheryl Underwood asked Osbourne about standing by a friend who is accused of racism. Osbourne said she didn't understand why Morgan's comments were considered racist. And ultimately told Underwood, don't try to cry. If anyone should be crying, it should be me. After the episode aired, Osbourne apologized on Twitter, quote, to anyone of color that I offended and or to anyone that feels confused or let down by what I said. Former co-hosts Holly Robinson-Pete and Leah Remini have since accused Osbourne of racist and homophobic behavior. Osbourne denies those allegations. CBS launched an internal investigation, and on Friday, they revealed Osbourne would not be returning to the talk and released a statement saying, as part of our review, we concluded that Sharon's behavior toward her co-host during the March 10 episode did not align with our values for a respectful workplace. The network also said during the hiatus, they have been coordinating workshops, listening sessions, and training about equity, inclusion, and cultural awareness for the hosts, producers, and crew. CBS News has reached out to Osbourne for a comment. We have not heard back. No replacement has been announced yet, but the talk will resume airing original episodes on Monday, April 12th.
And that's the midday news, but first a recap of the headlines. UWP President Isaac Baptist describes DLP Attorney Lennox Lawrence's 24th March request for the DPP's intervention in the CCJ ruling on the election treating case against Skerritt and others as illegal. The government of Canada announced it would contribute Canadian $1,200,000 to support the efforts of PAHO in fighting against COVID-19 in six Caribbean countries. And CBS announced Sharon Osbourne has decided to leave the talk in the wake of a heated on-air exchange with her co-hosts amidst allegations of racism after defending Piers Morgan's criticism of Meghan Markle. This has been the Midday News. I have been your presenter, Kimberly Benjamin.